readings of the Gospel of Luke is where we're going to be for both our early service as well as for our Easter service. Now, I will let you know that these are not the same sermon, so just in case you're curious about that, we'll be building on what we're talking about during our early service, during our drive-in Easter service. So in the Gospel of Luke is where we'll be, Luke chapter 24. Now, if you've been a part of our church for a little while, you will know that we've been walking through the Gospel of Luke. We started out at the very, very beginning, and we made it not really far into about chapter 6, and so we're kind of jumping ahead a little bit in our study. We've been asking this question, who is Jesus? And I think really this morning, as we kind of come back to that, last Sunday, we recognized and remembered Palm Sunday, and we were in the Gospel of Matthew for Good Friday, but this morning we come back to the Gospel of Luke. Now, if you're familiar at all with the Bible, you'll understand that Luke, a doctor, he didn't actually follow Jesus in his earthly ministry. But Luke has one of the most detailed depictions of the Gospel in its entirety. He shares in great detail these stories and these things that he had been told and even to some degree understood probably far better than those who participated in it themselves. What you see today will be in Luke chapter 24. In Luke chapter 24, as we ended on Good Friday, you heard me say a few moments ago potentially that, you know, as we look at Good Friday, the question that I've often struggled with and I shared with you on Friday was, what makes Good Friday good? And when we think about Good Friday, we remember that Good Friday is the remembrance of Jesus' death on the cross. The simple truth that I shared with those who were a part of our Good Friday service, and I'll share with you this morning, is what makes Good Friday good is it's not the end. See, Good Friday, those who were a part of it would have ended that day in utter confusion and in chaos. They were confused. They had been promised. They had been told. Jesus had said who he was. He had answered very clearly that he was God's son. He had referred and reminded them of the prophecies of who he was to be. Now, here we find ourselves on Easter morning. We find ourselves on Easter morning as they have struggled through the last couple of days. Jesus had been buried on Friday, and you can imagine just the worry and concern his followers would have had at that point in time, the confusion that they were experiencing. You see, I think for many of us today in our culture, dealing with the situations that we are dealing with right now, with quarantine scenarios and death and struggle and sickness and really this global pandemic, I think a lot of us are just confused. But we're not sure what normal is anymore. You see, I think what makes Easter particularly relevant today is as we find ourselves in this situation, we come to Easter morning just preparing for the worst. Many that I've talked to over the last few weeks are just preparing for the worst. But you see, God's promise is never for the worst. It's always for the best. This morning in Luke chapter 24, I'll read to us verses 1 through 12. Luke chapter 24 contains for us the most clear picture of the resurrection morning. Now, you can imagine, if you've ever heard the Easter story, that it would be a difficult story to hear for the very first time. And quite honestly, there's reason for challenge. There's reason for it not being understandable. It's not understandable because it's not from us. It's not something that we did. It's not something human. We can't really get our minds around it. It can only come from God. You see, the interesting thing about Easter, and for us in Montana, we well know that oftentimes Easter really doesn't mean anything about spring. Yesterday, receiving a number of inches of snow, and this morning being about 2 degrees when I went outside this morning. And, you know, for us, we don't think Easter time, well, it might be on the cusp of spring, but we're not there. Easter really has nothing to do with springtime. Easter is not really about putting a bulb in the ground in the fall, and when it comes out and there's new life, I think there's a valuable picture in that. But you see, Easter brings us back to the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. And on Easter morning, everything changed. Let me read Luke chapter 24, verses 1 through 12 for us today. If you have your Bibles open there, I'd encourage you to read along with us. On the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came to the tomb, bringing the spices they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. They went in, but did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men stood by them in dazzling clothes, and the women were terrified and bowed down to the ground. "Why are you looking for the living among the dead?" asked the men. "He is not here, but he has been resurrected. Remember how he spoke to you when he was still in Galilee, saying the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men, be crucified, and rise on the third day." And they remembered his words. Verse 9, returning from the tomb, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary, the mother of James, and the other women with them were telling the apostles these things. But these words seemed like nonsense to them, and they did not believe the women. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. He stooped to look in. He saw only linen cloths, so he went home amazed at what had happened. You see, let's take a minute and examine this first Easter experience. First of all, the women were the first to learn about the resurrection. How remarkable it is for us as we look at what happened within their culture. You see, the women did not hold a high rank in society. And oftentimes throughout history, we've seen that carried out. But women were the first to go to Jesus. They were the first to care for him. You see, the women, as they went to the tomb, it wasn't these strong disciples, these people, even Peter himself, you remember just a couple of days ago, denied Jesus. Those who said that they would stand with Jesus to the end couldn't even go to his tomb for his burial. You see, the women went that day, and the verse we read there in the beginning, they took with them the spices. They were going to prepare his body. You see, at the end of the day, as they were taking part in Passover, the day had come to an end, and they just put Jesus in the tomb. And so his body had laid decomposing for 3 days to their understanding. The terror of Good Friday was over, but the grief of Saturday was still with them. And they came mourning, brokenhearted, having no faith that anything would change. Years ago, I read this story of a small town suffering with a serious drought. It was a farming community much like ours here in Shelby. The crops were being ruined. Farmers looked and said, "There's no way we will survive." The preacher decided to hold a prayer meeting to ask God to send rain. He asked all those who believed in God's power to do so, to join him at 4 o'clock in the church. When the hour came, the church was almost filled with people hoping, praying together. But when the preacher got up and looked around, he said, "The meeting has been called off. We don't have enough faith to pray." And then he said, "I don't see a single umbrella in the room." You see, God can do things that we can't understand. So often we come to Jesus, and it's just like the women that day. We come mourning, and we come pouring out our grief, and we expect nothing bigger than our human understanding. But God is so far beyond that. The women came with no faith. Those that heard that Easter morning received with no faith. You see, that first Easter morning changed everything. They had to deal with their expectation versus the reality. You see, coming into the cemetery, the women that morning came with no faith, no expectation. But they were met there by two angels. Now, we can see a number of times throughout the Gospel of Luke this picture of angels coming and interceding into the lives of men. And every time an angel enters into the scene, this statement is made that they were terrified. You see, an encounter with God's presence brings us to our knees. And the women that morning were asked a challenging question. A question that if you were to hear it that day, you would probably look and say, well, because we took him off the cross. We saw it happen. In verse 5, they asked the question, why do you seek the living among the dead? Why do you seek the living among the dead? But you see, even the disciples, as you look at verse 11, these words seemed as tales to them. They seemed as if they couldn't be true. But the angels reminded those first hearers on Easter morning of the words of Jesus. They made the statement, why are you looking for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has been resurrected. That is the most amazing promise, the most amazing statement in all of history, that Jesus is no longer dead, but he is alive. He is alive. You see, that truth that we proclaim this morning, they're reminded that Jesus himself had told them what was going to happen. He had reminded them, he had pointed them back to the prophecies about who he was in the truth. It says, the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men to be crucified and rise on the third day. You see, Jesus himself had told them what was to come. But just like many of us, we miss the truth. Just like many of us, it may be repeated time and time again, but yet we still somehow manage to overlook it. Don't overlook it this morning. On Easter morning, we have this opportunity to change our expectation to what is truly the reality, that Jesus is no longer in the grave, that he is alive today, and he can live within our hearts. You see, there was this moment, not just of disbelief with the women. The women went back to the disciples. They went back to the disciples. It says, returning from the tomb in verse 9, they reported all these things to the 11 and to all the rest. We can imagine that the disciples, remember, there are 11 at this point in time. There were 12 original disciples. We know that Judas has now left that group. So the 11 disciples gathered, we can imagine, in a very quiet room in a quiet place out of fear. Those others had gathered with them, those who had followed Jesus, and they mourned the death of the one that they had followed. Luke reminds us of who was there that day. Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them, telling the apostles these things. But even those who had seen Jesus perform miracles time after time after time, who had heard Jesus prophesy and seen those things to come to fruition, doubted. They questioned, because it just didn't make sense. You see, I think for all of us, we have to come to this place of testing, if you will, the resurrection experience. And there are three things that I think each of us can test in our lives, three areas that we can deal with or question for ourselves, our past, our present, and our future. If you're having difficulty in believing the resurrection, I would suggest you ask the Lord to prove himself in one of these three areas. Which one represents your own growing edge right now? You see, I think for all of us, as we go back, I can tell you, I can look back in my life and I can see there were moments and times where I just didn't understand how God could get me through it. Situations and scenarios that I felt was the end. That there was no hope. But God carried me through. The testimony of the resurrection is seen that even in the death of sin, he can bring about new life. Jesus bearing our sins on the cross and rising again on the third day reminds us that no matter what happened in our past, that has been taken upon Jesus on the cross. And then our present. You see, we can judge, we can evaluate the truth of the resurrection in our present. For many of us, we may look around and we may feel helpless or hopeless. But yet the truth remains the same. We stand here this morning able to proclaim, no matter where we are, no matter what's going on around us, that Jesus is alive. And then our future. Many of us question, what does tomorrow look like? What about next week, next month, next year? Right now, I've been a part of a number of conversations, but what do we do if this keeps going? We're reminded in Scripture that God is the God of the harvest. That the cattle on 1,000 hills are His. You see, God being the God of the harvest, we know in our world here in Shelby that the harvest takes patience and it takes faith. But it always comes. You see, God knows what's coming. And He's already prepared the crop to be reaped. You see, this morning we can find hope in the resurrection story knowing that God has a plan. It may have seemed hopeless on Good Friday, but on Easter morning, the truth was now found. You see, this hope that we have reminds us of John chapter 8, verse 36. The promise that Jesus gave to us, if the Son of Man makes you free, you shall be free indeed. We have been given freedom through the cross. We have been given new life through the resurrection. You see, Jesus had proclaimed and told them this truth. But even Peter himself, one of the great patriarchs of our faith, the question in verse 11, it seemed as if it was nonsense. And then verse 12 says, Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. When he stopped to look in, stooped to look in, he saw only the linen cloth. So he went home amazed at what had happened. You see, I wonder this morning, are we still amazed? Peter had doubted. He had questioned. He had struggled. He had mourned. But rather than staying in that situation, rather than saying, whatever you're telling me, that's fine. You believe it. He got up and he ran. And he was amazed at the truth. This morning, are we amazed by that truth? Or have we become so complacent that you say, that truth is fine for you, it's fine for them, but I don't need it. You see, the experience of the resurrection changes us. The new life that is given to us, that Jesus rose from the grave, means that it is not the end. The promise that we have of new life brings us to the place to where, just like Peter, even though we may have doubted, even though we may have struggled, that we can be redeemed by the blood of the cross and given that new life through the resurrection. This morning, are we amazed? You see, Jesus gave himself to us. He was vulnerable. He risked with us. He identified with us. He loved us through our failures. You see, for all of us, we will never experience that kind of love in a human sense. But the love of God, the love, as we repeat so often in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have eternal life, is the hope that we proclaim this morning as we say that he is risen. Let me pray for us. Heavenly Father, we do come before you this morning knowing that Good Friday is not the end. That this morning as we celebrate Easter together, God, the resurrection, the new life that you have given to us. Lord, I know many may question, many may struggle. Lord, I pray that today they will find faith and hope in you, peace and rest, knowing that you have carried us through far more difficult days. God, as we read this story, Lord, help us to be all of these in this situation. God, help us to not just sit complacently and respond as Peter got up and ran and saw. Help us to be like the women who went grieving and mourning, knowing the weight of their sin had been taken upon Jesus, but going to see and respond. Lord, help us to be amazed at your presence. God, as we continue to worship throughout our different platforms this morning, God, we pray that you would be given glory, honor, and praise. We thank you that today we can say that he is risen. Lord, we love you, we thank you, and it's in your Son's holy and precious name that we pray. Amen.